हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपरिप्रचोदयात् ओम् शान्तिशान्तिशान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्व निराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
सो नौ इन् दिस् एय्थ् चाप्टर् आफ् छान्दोग्य उपनिषद् वि हव् कम्प्लीटेड् दि सिक्स्त् सेक्शन् लास्ट् वीक् इट् सेल्फ् वि हव् हार्टेड् दि सेवन्त् सेक्शन् ऐ सेड् वित् द सिक्स्त् सेक्शन् Saguna Brahma Upasanam in terms of Dahara Vidya or Dahara Upasanam or Dahara Brahma Upasanam topic is over. And the 7th section onwards until the 12th section we are going to have only Brahma Vidya or Nirguna Brahma Jnanam. Which means the Jnana Yoga portion begins. So different ways of enquiring into for self knowledge, for knowledge of the truth, we have to inquire into the nature of the reality. That self enquiry we do not do independently, we do it through the study of the shastram with the help of the teacher, isn't it? And here then the 7th section, that jnana yoga portion actually begins here in this context. And here we saw the first in the 7th section actually presents an akhyayika, a story, wherein the teacher is introduced, the students are also introduced. Not one student, there are two students. Who are they? Indraha and Virochanaha. So Asura, the king of the Asuras, the king of the Devas, or you can say Lord of Asuras and Lord of Devas. Representing two groups, the two students go to Brahmalok, Prajapati, to learn, to attend Brahma Vidya, to learn Shastram. Okay? But before they go, we learned how Prajapati, he made an announcement. It is the announcement and the Palashruti, what one can get if we get Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the truth. That was very interesting. Therefore, what is that? Sarva Kama Praptihi. Attainment of the fulfillment of all the desires. And Satya Kamatva means what? Satya Kamatva again means the attainment of the fulfillment of all the desires. And Satya Sankalpatvam, the attainment of fulfillment of all desires, not by doing something, just by thinking. Isn't it? Satya Sankalpatvam. And this will be the benefit of having self-knowledge. This was announced by Prajapati, and this announcement attracted this Virochana and Indra. So, selected by their own people, and they both went to Prajapati. Prajapati is another name for Brahmaji. Okay, this Brahma is the name. Don't literally ask me, Prabhupada, did Brahma teach and all that. There is a guru and there are sishyas. They have gone. Now, that's what we saw last class. And we also saw last class, when they went, Prajapati did not start teaching immediately. Even though they went to Prajapati's place and they had to remain there. So, I told you, I also wanted to learn certain words, which you already learned. You must have learned other Upanishad classes. You might have learned, you might have forgotten also. But remember these words. The students going to the teacher's place, to live there, to study with the teacher, is called what? Guru Upasadanam. Isn't it? Living in the Gurukulam, around the teacher, in the presence of the teacher, is called Guru Upasadanam. So they went there. And having gone there, living a life of discipline, the disciplined life, in order to prepare themselves for this teaching, is also called what? Brahmacharyam. And how long did Brahma Prajapati made them stay? No, he did not immediately teach. They had to stay in the Gurukulam for the 32 years. 32 years they stayed there and served, doing whatever they had to do, they were doing. And we also saw certain disciplines, how a student approaches the teacher, etc. They both went there, they went Samitpanhi, and they went and stayed, etc. This all small story part aspect we already saw. Now, after 32 years, that's what we saw last class. After 32 years, Brahmaji quietly, Prajapati, he inquired. Called these two boys, not two boys, okay, two young men. Not, I don't know whether young men or old men. But Indra and Virochana, they called both. Because they were grihasthas, they were already lords. They both went. And then, kimichantau avastam. Okay, desiring what? Expecting what? You know, you both stayed here all these days. You have come here for some purpose. Now, what did we expect actually? Expecting what, desiring what, you stayed here? And they replied, what is this question? You made an announcement very clearly. And you gave what now? Ishvara Swarupam also nature. Whoever discovers the truth will become one with the Ishvara, who is of this nature. And they repeated without changing even full stop and comma of the sentence of Brahmaji Prajapati. They repeated the same sentence to remind him, you made this announcement, we heard this announcement, it is this announcement which brought us here. And 32 years we've been staying here for what? Expecting you to call us and teach us. Okay? They express their purpose of staying there for 32 years. It happened now, it's in the third mantra of the seventh section that we saw last class. And when they were answering, it seems they made a grammatical mistake also, because when talking to elders, talking to a teacher like Prajapati, people get a little frightened and confused, so they make mistakes, isn't it? So they must have said avasva. No? They must have said that, but they said what? Avastam. They use the second person verb instead of using first person verb. Because when they answered, they must have used what now? The answer must have been given in first person, isn't it? Using the first person verb. But they gave what now? The answer, they replied the answer also what now? Using the second person verb. So Shankara says, Shankara justifies, how come there is a grammatical mistake? Because when Prajapati called them and asked them the purpose of their staying there, and when they were excited, it will confused also, it will fry fear also, respectful fear, some sort of fear, and they made a grammatical mistake. It happens, isn't it? Okay. That's all over. Third mantra is over. Now, if in the fourth mantra of the seventh section onwards, Prajapati's teaching begins. And before we read that mantra, I have to prepare you a lot. Let me tell you what it is. Now, Prajapati is going to teach this Virochanaha and Indraha. What is he teaching about? How is he going to teach? Here, Prajapati's teaching is going to be of the Atma being distinct from the three bodies. Prajapati is going to present his teaching now. Prajapatihi is going to present his teaching, give his teaching in such a way that is going to be the distinction of the Atma from the three bodies. How can you put it in Sanskritam? Na Atmanaha Atmana Atma Shariratrayat Vilakshanaha. Atma Shariratrayat Vilakshanaha means what? Atma is distinct from threefold, three bodies. This is what he is going to teach. And to teach this, he is going to use the similar method used in Mandukya Upanishad. The teaching will be very similar to Mandukya Upanishad. I am preparing all these things before I enter into the verses. So here, now we need to understand here, let us understand what is Atma and what these three bodies are. The very teaching is what now? Atma being distinct from the three bodies is going to be taught. So Atma is distinct means, Atma, these three bodies are different, Atma is distinct from them. So, what is the difference between Atma and three bodies? This we have to make our own analysis first before we go there. We all know very well Atma is what now? All pervades. Atma is a word implying the all pervasive reality. Reality in terms of its nature of all pervasiveness. Atma is a word implying the absolute reality in terms of its nature of all-pervasiveness. But what is that reality? Consciousness. I'm just telling you, we do not know. Okay? We're using the word consciousness. Chaitanyam. Atma is Chaitanyam, the pure consciousness. And what about the three bodies? No, Sthula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram, and Karana Shariram. This grass body, subtle body and causal body, these three are of the nature of inertness. So, Atma, consciousness and three bodies, Anatma, are of the nature of inertness. Differencing the difference first. So, Chaitanyam, then Jadam. Chetanam, Jadam. Or Chetanam, Atma Chetanaha, Anatma Shariratrayam Achetanam Jadam. Okay, next. We had the next difference also. Now we say, Atma is, Atma obtains in the form of the experiencer subject. In what form does Atma obtain? Isn't it? Atma obtains or is available for recognition in the form of subject of knowledge or experiencer. Drig rupena Atma asti. In what form do the bodies are here? Three bodies. This Anatma, three bodies, which are of the nature of inertness, obtain in the form of the objects of knowledge, drishya rupani, atma drig swarupaha, anatma shariratrayam drishya rupam. Three sharirani drishya rupani. They obtain him of objects of knowledge. Okay, drig rupam, drishya rupam. That's the difference. Now you learn two difference. Then third one. Now, Atma, being consciousness, being one, is of the nature of divisionlessness. Nirvikalpaha. Atma nirvikalpaha. Atma is divisionless, undivided. One indivisible, partless whole. The nirvikalpaha. Now, what about the Anatma? Anatma is the three bodies are subject to division. Savikalpa. Sharirani savikalpani. Shariram, shariratrayam savikalpam. Sharirani savikalpani means what? They are subject to divisions. Nirvikalpa, nirvikalpaha savikalpam. Then the next we had to see. Atma is nirvikaraha. Atma is not subject to any change or modification. Atma is of the nature of changelessness, nirvikaraha. Whereas, shariratrayam is subject to change, subject to modifications, savikaram. So, nirvikaraha, atma, savikaram, shariratrayam. Nirvikalpaha, atma, savikalpam, shariratrayam. Got this? Now finally I tell you one more thing. Atma satyam. Whereas anatma shariratrayam mithya. Remember these important differences. Remember all these three? All of them? Chaitanyam, chetanam, achetanam, drik, drishyam, nirvikalpaha, savikalpaha, nirvikaraha, savikaraha, satyam, mithya. And this is what to understand about the nature of the Atma, where in the second chapter Bhagavad Gita, from verse number 2 to 25. Second verse onwards until 25th verse, this is what to understand the nature of the Atma. Bring this. Okay. Now you know this difference. Even though we are very clear means what? We don't know, but still this difference is very clear. Between the Atma and Anatma, knower and the known, subject and the object, I and this. This means what here? This body mentions complex. Between this differences are there, very obvious, and differences are there. Even though differences are there, in spite of the understanding being there between the differences, understanding of the differences, still what happens? That we mistake the anatma for the atma. This mistaking the anatma for the atma, anatma being mistaken for the atma, is called what? Tadatmyam. Tadatmyam adhyasaha. Or you can say, De anatma abhimanam. We are using three words. Anatma abhimanam, or deha abhimanam, or adhyasaha, or tadatmyam. This mistake or error happens due to the lack of discriminative knowledge. Because we do not have this discriminative knowledge of what is Atma and what is Anatma, in spite of knowing the differences, we mistake the Anatma for the Atma, and this mistaking the Anatma for the Atma is called Adhyasaha, otherwise called Dehabhimanam, otherwise called what? Tadatmyam. And here, this Atma, this all-pervasive, the absolute reality, which is of the nature of all-pervasiveness, therefore which obtains as the essential nature of every being, innermost essence of every being, isn't it? Here is same Atma identified with the sthula shariram. The Atma identified with the sthula shariram, functioning through the sthula shariram, going through the experiences through the perception of the external world, external objective universe, is called Vishvaha. You have to remember Mandukya Upanishad, okay? Vishvaha is not now. Atma alone is called Vishvaha. Atma obtaining as the experiencer in the waking state, identified with this sthula shariram, the gross body, going through the experiences, through the perception of the external world, is called Vishvaha. So you can say what now? Vishvaha is none other than Atma. But which Atma? Atma identified with the gross body, sthula shariram. Okay, now from here, the same Atma, not a different Atma, comes again, isn't it? The very same Atma, obtaining as the experiencer, subject of knowledge, dissociated from the gross body, disidentified from the gross body, but identified with the subtle body, especially the mind. Only, especially the mind, identified with the mind. I'm telling you, the same Atma, disidentified from the gross body, dissociated from the gross body, but identified with the subtle body, especially the mind alone. Mind alone. And going through the experiences, experiencing the objective world, obtaining within the thoughts, dream world, is called Taijasaha. The person is the same, the object identified is different. Now we can say, in the waking state, when the Atma is identified with the gross body, is identified with the totally, fully functional mind, sense powers, powers of organs of actions, and the active physical gross body. It's called Vishvaha. So Vishvaha means what? Total manifestation there. Vishva Atma identified in the waking, Atma in the waking state, identified with the gross body means, what does it mean? Identified with that fully functional equipments of the individual. Body is active. Why? All the five sense powers are active, functional. Powers of organs of actions are functional. Of course, prana is always functional. The mind is fully functional, fully active mind. Then it's called, the Atma is called Vishvaha. But when the mind is semi-functional, semi-functional means the mind does, without associating itself with the gross body and other subtle powers, mind alone is functional, and the same Atma identified with the semi-functional mind, thereby identified with the subtle body upon of thoughts, and going through the experiences, the perception of the subtle world obtaining in the realm of thoughts is called Taijasaha. Is it clear? So, dreamer. So, waker I, now dreamer I. This Vishvaha is waker I, Taijasaha is dreamer I. Now, the very same Atma, I am repeating. Don't think somehow is making us feel bored, you know, all these things. This subtleness always repetition, but something I am going to make you see differently. The very same Atma identified with the causal body. What is a causal body? Very simple. Non-functional mind. So fully functional mind, fully active mind, semi-functional mind, now non-functional mind or totally passive mind. Because the mind is totally passive, non-functional, all the thoughts are resolved. Means what? Everything is non-functional. Sense powers are non-functional. Powers of organs or affections are non-functional. The whole body is inactive. Body is as good as dead. Therefore, when the same Atma identified with the non-functional mind and the totally non-functional equipments. Non-functional mind. Mind alone, only the mind. Identity is with the non-functional mind. Is called prajnaha. So fully functional mind includes what? Physical body, therefore body and sense power, all the 10 powers. What is called vishvaha. Then semi-functional mind, only the mind. Then there is taijasaha. The Atma is identified with the non-functional mind, totally passive mind. It gets the different name, prajnaha. To gross body, subtle body, the semi-functional mind, the non-functional passive mind. Now to go one step ahead. Now the very same Atma, when it is looked at from this its own standpoint, without any identity with any of these three bodies, the very same Atma, unidentified with any of these three, looked at from its own standpoint, is called Turiyaha. Is it called now Turiyaha? Don't as a fourth person. Like the fourth person. Who is Turiyaha now? The pure consciousness. Because of its nature of all pervasiveness, implied by the word Atma, not identified with any of the three bodies, consciousness looked at, not physically looking at, cognitively, and understood as consciousness, he is what now? Turiyaha. And it is this Turiya Atma. It is this pure consciousness is Brahma, absolute reality, ultimate truth, implied by the word Brahma. It is this Turiyaha, Turiya Chaitanyam is Brahma. And in discovering this Turiyatma being Brahma, what is there? Is in fact attained discovery of this Turiyam being distinct, though not distant from the three bodies, is discovery of the fulfillment of, discovery of the fullness. Discovery of fullness is attainment of the fulfillment of all desires. Sarva kama praptihi. Okay? Fulfillment, attainment of fulfillment of all the desires. Means what? Discovery of fullness is attainment of the fulfillment of all desires. not literally fulfilling all the desires. Because in discovering fullness, there will not be inadequacy. Once inadequacy is not there, there will not be needs. Once the needs are resolved, there will not be desires. Even the desires are there, one will not be dependent on the fulfillment of desires for one's fullness. Isn't it? Desire may be there to appease the hunger or to quench the thirst, to take care of the biological needs, but not for the happiness. Isn't it? Somebody comes and asks, oh, this person is a wise person, which means all his desires are fulfilled as it were. So he doesn't have to have any disease. Okay? Let us not give him any food. Let us see whether he is a jnani or not. Let us put him to starvation. Such experiments should not be done. Okay? No, why? Biological needs will be there because they are different. Wise person will not be dependent on anything else for his happiness, fullness. And not being dependent on anything else for happiness, because fullness is very nature, is called as good as having all the desires fulfilled. Is it clear? Therefore, it is the Purnatva Praptihi, attainment of fullness, discovery of fullness is attainment of fullness, and attainment of fullness is what? Attainment of fulfillment of all one's desires. Sarva kama praptihi or purnatva praptihi. Therefore, this is the model. Okay, this is how he is going to do this. Exactly like how it is presented in the Mandukya Upanishad. But he uses some different words. And here, what is the teacher, what is the methodology the teacher is using here? The teacher is using Arundhati Darshana Nyaya. The methodology used here is what? Arundhati Darshana Nyaya. Why Arundhati Darshana Nyaya means what? We have to understand. Arundhati Darshanam means seeing the subtlest, tiniest star on the wedding day. Who has to see? The young couple who got married and they are supposed to see and to be able to live like the Arundhati and her husband. Tiny star, very difficult to see. So whenever you want to show somebody the tiniest one and how to help the person see exactly the tiniest one, show something very near which is big. And from there slowly help the person shift the attention from the biggest to the bigger, to the big, to the small, to the smaller, to the small, to the smallest. This is called what? Using this methodology is called Arundhati Darshana Nyaya. And here also the teacher has the job. He has to start from the Vishwaha, Atma, who is identified with the gross body. And slowly he has to take us to then Taijasa. And from the Taijasa, subtle to, he has to take us to the much subtler Prajna, and from Prajna to the subtlest Turiya Atma. It's a journey, isn't it? Grossest to the subtlest. Or you can say gross to the subtlest. Gross, subtle, subtler, subtlest. So he introduces what now? Vishwaha. That is what comes in the first mantra. Okay? With this preparation, let us enter into the first mantra. So, in the seventh section, fourth mantra, we have to start today. And in this fourth mantra of the seventh section, Prajapatihi Brahmaji introduces Vishwaha. And suppose somebody, you know, he says suddenly something different, he'll get confused. So he teaches, this Vishwaha is Atma the Brahman. Vishwaha, the weaker eye is the grossest eye, isn't it? Gross eye. Weaker eye is gross eye. Why? Because waker eye is identified with the gross body. And dreamer eye is subtle eye, identified with the subtle body. And the, is it? The sleeper eye is much subtler eye because identified with the causal body, subtler form. And Turiya is unidentified with anything is what? Subtlest consciousness. There is nothing subtler than consciousness. We should ask, what is next Turiyam? Okay, let us stop there. Subtlest consciousness. So, gross I, gross ahankara, subtle ahankara, subtler ahankara, then subtlest consciousness. This is how his teaching is going to be. So when he introduces this, he starts with the Vishvaha. And what does he say? He equates Vishvaha to Atma the Brahman. Why do you say Atma the Brahman? Absolute reality, ultimate truth of the entire cosmos is implied by the word Brahma. And that reality alone is called by known by another word Atma because of its nature of all pervasiveness. And this reality being all pervasive, it pervades in and through everything, therefore obtains as the innermost essence of every being. See, Atma. And this Atma the Brahman is what? Vishvaha. Sorry. Vishvaha is Atma the Brahman. Vishvaha, the waker eye, obtaining in the waking state, identified with the gross body, going through the experiences, of the external world, experiencing the external world through the perception, is called Vishvaha. And that Vishvaha is equated to Atma in the first mantra. He tells. But instead of using the word Vishvaha, Prajapati, he introduces a new word. And this word also was introduced by Gaudapada Acharya in his Karikas. The mantra is also used. In the Mandukya Upanishad mantras also, the same word has come. We have come across this word. There we came across the word as Dakshinakshi Purushaha, isn't it? And here we are coming, come across the word Akshi Purushaha. Say now.
Akshi.
So, Vishvaha is equal to Akshi Purushaha. Akshi Purushaha. Okay. Now let us see the mantra. Then I'll again explain to you why Vishvaha is called Akshi Purushaha.
तौह
प्रजापतिः उवाच नो तौ मीन्स दोस बोथ दे बोथ नो प्रजापतिः स्पोक टू दोस टू पीपल इंद्रः एंड विरोचनः इंद्र एंड विरोचन अप्रोच द टीचर ही प्रजापति नाउ स्टार्टेड स्पीकिंग टू देम. Now he first introduces Yaha,
Yeshaha,
Akshini,
Purushaha,
Drishyate,
Yeshaha,
Atma, Iti. So first sentence ends there. Yeshaha, Purushaha. See, if it is simple Sanskritam, you understand now. See, Yaha Purushaha, listen, Yaha Purushaha, Yaha Yeshaha Purushaha, Akshini Drishyate, no? Yeshaha Atma, Yaha Purushaha, Akshini Drishyate, Akshini means what now? In the eye. This experiencer, eye, the waker eye, known by the word Vishvaha, obtaining in this eye, Akshi means what? In the eye. Eye, seen in the eye, located in the eye, the known as Akshipurushaha, is Atma. What does he want to say? This Vekar is Atma. Vekara is Atma. The one who is seen in this eye is called Akshipurushaha, and he is Atma. Yeshaha Atma iti. Here equation is made. Vekaris Atma means equation is made. And then he says what? Ha uvacha yetad amritam abhayam yetad brahma iti. So again iti, second sentence also is over. Now he says, this waker called Vishwaha, obtaining in the waking state, identified with the gross body, totally functional mind, okay, and also known as Vishwaha and Akshipurushaha, is see, one who is seen in this eye, is Atma, Brahma, which is Brahma, Amritam, Abhayam, Brahma. Amritam, immortal, timeless, isn't it? Timeless reality, Brahman. Amritam, Abhayam, Brahma. This Vekar is Atma, Atma is Brahma. So Vekar is Atma, the Brahman. He said that. Okay. Before I go to the next sentence, let me tell you. Why is this Vishwaha known as Akshipurushaha? We came across this. Listen, very important thing you need to know. See here, we are going to see how we should maintain even relationships, how we should talk to people. All this Prajapati is going to teach us now in the following lessons. Big lesson. How not to hurt at all. How to take care of our, maintain our relations. Without hurting any feeling, without offending. Even you have to say something unpleasant, but still how to tell them. You do not tell a lie, but unpleasant thing will, when you say it, will hurt a person. But without hurting the other person, truth has to be said, spoken, isn't it? But without hurting. All these things he is going to teach us. So, it may be little, but we'll go and come later on. Now let me tell you first of all why Vishwaha is called Akshipurushaha. Look at this. Vishwaha is the one who is identified with the body, thereby functioning through the physical body, experiences the external objective world means. What does it mean? He is perceiving through the sense organs. Now, without the sense powers, without the sense organs, jnana indriyani or karma indriyani, how can there be experience? How without the indriyani, there cannot be something called perception. And without the perception, there cannot be something called experience, isn't it? So, experience is possible only when he is perceiving, and perception is possible only when there are sense organs. So, identity with the physical body means identity, functioning, perceiving through the sense organs, experiencing through the perception of the external world, through sense organs. Now, so sense organs are very important. And of all the sense powers, of the five sense powers, which is the most important of the sense powers? Without which life will be very difficult. Imagine, suppose you cannot hear. You can manage. Difficult hearing aid, of course, you'll mistake, it'll cause problems, okay? That's you mistake what they're talking, they want to know. Some mothers-in-law, they do a lot of problems. When they're not here, they cannot hear, and they create hell for the daughter-in-law, they'll think whatever daughter-in-law talks, she's talking about me, no? The problem will be created. So, this is not Indian mothers not do, but not English mothers, no, I think. Okay. Now, if you cannot hear, not hearing will not cause any problems. Okay, you can manage. Difficult, but you can manage. Not nothing is happen. Suppose imagine the power of smelling does not work. What will happen? My God, you cannot make it. What is ginger? What is asafoetida? What is sandalwood paste? And what is saffron? You cannot. What is this? You can't make out. That's okay. Still, you can manage. Still, you can manage. Suppose the tongue doesn't work. Very difficult. My God, whatever I eat, no taste. Imagine, suppose you don't, only the power of taste doesn't function. Or it's not there. What will happen? Whatever goes in, you will become thin very soon. Isn't that? Because no taste is okay. But I tell you, still you can manage. But if you do not have eyes, you need totally somebody's support, isn't it? So what is the most important of the sense powers? And what is it which what is that through which you collect most of the data? 24 hours you are not eating. Okay? You eat occasionally. Even then you put on a lot of it. It's a different problem. But eyes, my God, from once you wake up in the morning until you fall asleep, you have to continuously are using your eyes. Sometimes you don't use your ears also. Isn't it? But your eyes are something which you always use. You can't help. Mostly used, most important of all the sense powers, and without which power, life will be very, very difficult. You can't manage it all independently. And that sense organ is called what? The power of seeing. Is it? It's called for eye. Eye is the sense organ which is most important of all. Therefore, Upanishad says, this Vishwaha, the waker eye, the knower eye, obtaining in the waking state, is mostly located in the eyes. So he is called one who obtains in the eye. We call persons what now? The Akshi Purushaha. And of these two eyes also, I am not saying, don't ask me any medical reasons. Upanishad says, right eye is more powerful, it seems, than the left eye. Therefore, Vishwaha is called Dakshinakshi Purushaha. Akshi Purushaha is the word used in this Upanishad. Dakshinakshi Purusha is the word used in Mandukya Upanishad. So Vishwaha is another word for Dakshinakshi Purushaha. Dakshinakshi Purushaha or Akshi Purushaha is another word for Vishwaha. And who is Vishwaha? Vishwaha is Atma. Who is Vishwaha? The waker eye. Atma. There's no waker without the Atma. There's no knower without the Atma. There cannot be experiencer without the Atma. The experiencer, knower, definitely is none other than the Atma. But this Atma, as a waker, identified with the gross body, and having the experience of the external gross universe, is called Vishwa Akshi Purushaha. Akshi Purushaha is another than Atma. This is the teaching of the Prajapati to Brahma. Now he is waiting to take these boys, not the boys, students, two students, Indra and Varuna to Taijasa. But unfortunately, these two boys, even though they are leaders of Asuras and Devas, okay, still they seem to be a little dull. They don't seem to be very bright. They take the literal meaning of the word Akshi Purushaha. When he said, Akshi Purushaha, one who obtains in the eye, Akshini Yaha Purushaha Asti, Saha Akshi Purushaha Vishwaha Atma. when he said Vishwa is equated to Atma, they literally took the Vishwa, Akshipurusha, as the Atma, one who obtains in the eye. Therefore, they saw from distance, mysteriously looking into the eyes of Prajapati. Looking into the eyes of Prajapati. Yeah. See, we see our own reflections in the eye. And you know, eye is a camera, is it? Eye is a mirror. I can reflect the figures. Therefore, these boys went close to the Prajapati. Again, saw themselves in the eyes of Prajapati. They saw their own reflections. Whose reflection means what? Their reflection of their gross physical body. Look at this. They saw their own reflection, gross physical body, in the eyes of Prajapati. They thought, okay, now we understood what Atma is. Our physical bodies reflected in the eyes of Prajapati is Atma. So now the question comes here, they're asking, they literally take the reflections of the forms found in the eyes are the Akshipurushas, and that Akshipurusha is Atma. And they immediately they think they're intelligently going to tell something. Okay? What are they going to see? Look at this. Next sentence. Yoyam Bhagavaha. They call him Bhagavan. Yoyam Bhagavaha. Bhagavan, hey Bhagavan, O Lord. Yoyam Apsu Parikhyayate. Yahacha Ayam Adarshe. Now he says, okay, reflection, I reflects the person at a thing, a person reflected in the eye is what? Reflection of the object obtaining in the eye is the Atma. Reflection is the Atma. What, according to them? Reflection is the Atma. Akshipurushaha means there's a reflection of something, person in the eye. So reflected person is the Atma. Reflected body is the Atma. For whom? For Praja, for Indra and Virochana, reflected person is body is the Atma. Now the doubt comes, it's called Chaya, isn't it? Chaya means what now? Reflected, reflection. The shade, isn't it? They ask, see, not only in the eye there is reflection, we find the same reflections in what? In the clean, clear water, apsu. Apsu means in the waters. We find such reflection found in the eye, we also find where? In the water. Not only there, we also find reflections of the body where? Also in the mirror, adarshe. Adarshe, we find the kutra. Adarshe, we find the reflection. In the mirror, we find the reflection. Apsu, in the waters, we find the reflection. And you can add some more now. Upanishad stops here. We can add anything and everything which is transparent, isn't it? Any transparent surface, we can have. See the reflections. Therefore, there's so many types of reflections. Reflection in the mirror, reflection in the water, reflection any shining stainless steel, reflection any transparent area, isn't it? So there's so many reflections. Now they thought reflection is the Atma. Therefore, now he's asking, Katamaha Yeshaha Atma. There's so many types of reflections in different reflecting media. Which of the reflections is the Atma? Now we understood reflection is the Atma because you called Akshipurushaha. Akshipurushaha means reflection obtaining in the eyes. And why only eyes? There's so many reflections. Which of the reflections is the Atma? Katamaha means which. Not kiyat katam, okay? Now you are learning a proper word. Kathamaha means which. Suppose I ask, I will tell you, Ramaha vanam agachat. Rama went to forest. And you ask, which son of Dasharatha went to the forest? Which son? Kathamaha putraha. Isn't it? Like that? Here, Kathamaha. Kathamaha means what? Kathamaha means, which of the reflections is the Atma? There are so many reflections. So many chaya. Isn't it? Which of the reflections is the Atma? And Prajapati must have thought, my God. But he did not feel that. He is very patient. Look at this. Yes. Katam yoyam bhagavo bhagavaha apsu parikhyayate yascha ayam adarshe. There is one fellow, one reflection found in the waters, another reflection found in the mirror. Katamaha eshaha eshaha iti. So which of the reflections is the Atma? You say, from your teaching, we understood. Akshi Purushaha means the reflection obtaining in the eye. And not only reflections found in the eye, there are reflections every transparent place, transparent thing. So which of the reflections is the Atma? Is the question. Now he, suppose, what should he have said? Suppose any other teacher was in the place of Prajapati, he could have yelled that, come on, my God, get lost, I won't teach you anymore. You're too dead, not lull to teach. He didn't say anything. And he said, you are wrong. He didn't say immediately. And whenever somebody makes a mistake, if you suddenly say you are wrong, it will put the person off. It will kill all the enthusiasm of the person in learning. Not only that, it will offend the person's mind, it will hurt the person's feelings. He will get completely shattered. So he didn't want to say anything negatively. But he should not tell a lie also, isn't it? So even though he did not want to hurt the feelings of the student, and instead of saying, he said, all the reflections are Atma. What did he say? All the reflections are Atma. Reflection found in the mirror is also Atma. Reflection found in the water also is Atma. Reflection found in the eye is also Atma. Is his answer right or wrong? Relatively right. But actually this is not the answer actually intended by the Vishwaha. Only isn't it? Not the reflection. The knower is Atma. Reflection is not the Atma. Isn't it? Even though it's a wrong answer. The teacher, all of them are Atma. He said that just not to offend the feelings of the student, not to kill their association. Who says this? Shankara writes all in his commentary, all this. Therefore, he said all the reflections are Atma. But next question, the next mantra has to go. And Shankara writes a very beautiful commentary. He says, why he did not immediately correct it? Immediately, if we point out somebody's error or mistake, even if somebody makes a mistake also, we need to point out the mistake. We need not, but without hurting the feelings. Slowly, we have to say, using nice words. Isn't it? So, Swamiji used to say, somebody comes and sings in front of him, okay? And then, you know, Swamiji has a very subtle knowledge of music. And this person who sings, swaras go somewhere. What a papam. Swamiji has to say, listen, And then suppose Swamiji is very open. He is a Swamiji. He sang very well. And Swamiji, he, no, he didn't sing very well. Swaram was not all right. You know, Talam was wrong. And then, no, Swarasthanam was not, didn't even stay in Swarasthanam. All, everywhere mistakes. Raga, Tala, everything is, Bhava also replaced. There's no Bhava at all. He can say that. He'll slowly, he'll say what now? Yeah. He won't say, yeah. Swamiji has his own way of saying, yeah. He sang well, means, yeah. I think it's better he learns some swaras correctly, you know. Corrects, but without immediately saying, yes, he's wrong. No, he's not right. Nice way of pointing out the mistakes without hurting the feelings. The teacher was very particular, and Shankara says, why the teacher did not point out the mistakes? Why did he is intending to teach them, point out their mistake indirectly, and he wants to teach them the correct answer also. Why he didn't do? Because Shankara says, suppose if the teacher immediately, directly point out the mistakes, errors, the student would have become very hurt. And immediately, from that time onwards, he will start nursing the hurt, and thereby he will stop listening to what is being said, and then he cannot listen, he cannot grasp, and he cannot retain. The whole enthusiasm will be killed. So teacher wanted to protect his disciples. Sishya Rakshanartham. Not protect the students, sustain the students' interest in study. See, even the interest in studying Vedanta itself is very difficult. And somehow a Purusharthanischaya makes you have some interest. And you come all the way, come and sit in the class. And if I make you feel bored, and then you will rub your bald head, or you will rub your hand, you will watch your time. You know? Why? Boring. Isn't it one thing? I suppose student learns, at least lose enthusiasm also. Some enthusiasm is there. That's why even though it's boring, you are sitting. Isn't it? It is not a katha kalakshepa, no colorful thing, no prasadams, no noise, no puja, nothing, isn't it? Therefore, it's very important to sustain the enthusiasm of the student. Therefore, the teacher did not want to say anything negatively. So, does he accept them? No. He is going to indirectly mention their mistakes. How he is doing it, that comes in the next mantra. Now, so the first mantra presents the story, then presents the teaching of Vishwaha. Vishwa is Atma. Now, the next mantra, the teacher presents the teaching to correct their mistakes. The teachers attempt to correct their mistakes indirectly with offending them is present in the second mantra. Okay, next section. Okay.
Udasharavaha.
Atmanam avekshya yad atmano na vijanitah tanme prabrutam iti. Okay, before I reading next sentence, let me tell you what before every mantra I want to prepare you. Now the teacher tells them, bring one Sharavaha. Sharavaha means a flat lid-like container. Not a deep container, but a flat lid-like container is called Sharavaha. Moodi madhiri irukkira onnu. A flat lid-like container. And he said, bring this lid-like, no, flat container filled with the water. He said that. And he asked them, okay, now look into this water. After asking them to look into the water, he is going to say, now what have you seen? What have you seen? Is going to ask. Again, the students are going to make mistakes. And even then, he does not make any, does not say anything. And then they both look into the water. They looked into the water. Oh, reflection again. He's going to correct. But at this point, what happened? Virochana, what he did? What do you see? And he thought, they'll say, we are seeing the reflection. He said, yes, exactly, it's the same reflection we are seeing into the water also. But now, when the first time when they saw, both of them saw themselves in the water, they were there as simple brahmacharis. They still say, what now? We see the same reflection. Then afterwards what he said, now both of you were in a simple brahmachari dress in the Gurukulam. Now both of you were kings before, isn't it? Leaders of groups, asuras and then devas. Go back and dress yourself nicely, like how you used to dress up in your palace, isn't it? Dress up nicely, wear nice gorgeous dress and wear all your ornaments and come nicely getting yourself decorated. Come. Go and come in a marriage dress. Or not a marriage, I'm simply using, okay? Go and come back nicely dressed. You know, brahmachari means as wearing simple dress. Go back, well, ornaments. Without ornaments, wearing a simple dress, they saw both the reflections in the water. Then after seeing, he asked, what do you see? They saw our reflections. Then he is going to send them. Then he is going to send them now again. Go back. Now wear nice dress. Remove your simple dress. Wear nice dress, gorgeous dress. And wear all your ornaments and come back. And they both came back wearing nice dress. How they came, isn't it? Everything they dressed themselves like nicely, they came back. Again he asked them to look into the water. And they looked into the water. Now what did they see? Again they saw the reflection. But there's a different reflection. Before the water reflected their simple forms, the second time when they looked into, the water reflected their nicely dressed, no, gorgeously dressed forms. Now what he want to teach through that, see, these only the reflections are dependent on the appearance, isn't it? Reflections are dependent on the forms. They don't have independent existence. If you are not dressed well, the reflection also, what now? Is also like the how you look. If you are dressed well, the reflections are also exactly reflects what or like what you are outside, which means reflections are dependent on you. The teacher wanted to teach this fact. The reflections have no independent existence. Reflections are dependent on you. If you come and show your face, there's a reflection. when you go away from the water, reflection goes. Can there be something called reflection without you? If you are there, mirror can reflect your face. If you move away, reflection goes. So reflection is what now? Reflections have no independent existence. Reflections are mithya. They depend on you for your reflection to be there. Therefore, anything mithya which does not have independent existence cannot be Atma. This is what the teacher wanted to teach. But what did they do? Again they thought, isn't it? They missed the reflection for the Atma. And then they asked the teacher again with patience what he said. Yes. When he said yes, finished. Virochana, half-baked knowledge. Isn't it? What did he do? He thought, okay, I have learned now. Immediately, before even the teacher correcting him, he left the place, went back to his place, thinking what? This body is Atma. Dehatma Buddhi. And these people are the materialists, charvakas. Okay? Charvakas like people. And I'm talking to you about later on. He goes back. And that is why all the asuras or asurakula people, the wrong teacher, wrong teaching, wrong followers, they become what? Asuras. Asura parampara. Okay? I'm stopping here, this particular lesson, because the next mantra, I want to teach the second section, isn't it? First section is over. Section 7 is over. The 8th section we have to start, and then I'll start the next class. Is it clear? So the 8th section will start next class. There's still a teaching as only we will start with the Vishwa. Isn't it? They mistook the reflections for the Atma. Therefore, now he accepted and he has to correct them. How he is going to correct them nicely, we'll see next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.